So imagine, you hold this massive, half-empty, 1980s-era office building in your portfolio.
Right, the classic dinosaur.
Exactly. The floor plates are way too deep, the amenities are totally outdated, and, the hybrid work revolution has practically hollowed it out.
It's a bleeding asset.
Yeah. And the traditional industry advice for you is brutal but simple, right? You either tear the whole thing down at a massive loss, or you spend millions trying to convert it into residential apartments.
Which is a nightmare in itself.
But what if the secret to saving that specific asset actually involves filling it with radioactive
I
materials?
mean, it sounds like the plot of a sci-fi movie.
It really does.
But for the institutional investors, the asset managers, and commercial or hotel owners listening to us right now, this is actually the most sophisticated structural pivot happening in the market today.
Right.
We are looking at a fundamental shift in how we categorize physical space.
So today, we are putting together a high-level briefing to basically pop the hood on that exact pivot. We are doing a deep dive and analytical breakdown of the latest Pre's Perspective newsletter.
Oh, it's a great issue this week.
It really is. And it's by Priyanshu Adathakar. Now, for those of you managing complex portfolios, Pre is known as a top-tier commercial real estate and hotel investment advisor.
Absolutely.
Our mission today is to unpack his thesis on this highly specialized powerhouse niche emerging in the Midwest. We're moving way past that macro narrative of the dying
Yeah,
assets.
we're totally over that headline.
Right. Instead, we want to look at the actual mechanics of transforming underperforming Class B assets into nuclear medicine and life science hubs.
And to really understand the sheer scale of this opportunity, we have to start with the macro environment that Pre's boots on the ground analysis identifies.
Set the stage for us.
Well, we all know generalist office demand is in this massive structural slump, but within that broader commercial real estate depression, there is this incredible divergence.
Right.
Generalist space is a straight-up liability, sure, but highly technical, specialized space, that's seeing an acceleration in demand that most regional supply simply cannot meet.
And Prien provides this highly specific operational framework for capitalizing on that exact divergence. He calls it the Indiana blueprint.
Which I love. It's so concrete.
Yeah, instead of speaking in hypotheticals, he points directly to Purdue University. Because Purdue didn't just, build a couple of science labs on their
Well,
campus.
they orchestrated an entire ecosystem.
Exactly. They anchored a massive life science hub, they heavily incentivized private capital to come in, and they basically merged the university's research pipeline directly with corporate development.
They turned their immediate geography into a commercial biomedical engine.
Right.
And the mechanics of how Purdue achieved that are fascinating. I mean, they utilized public-private partnerships, targeted zoning, to ensure that biotech firms had the physical infrastructure they needed the exact moment a research breakthrough was ready to be
That's
commercialized.
all about speed.
Exactly. And Priyanshu Adathakar's central argument in this week's perspective is that this blueprint isn't just some one-off academic success story. It is a highly replicable strategy.
He specifically highlights Ohio, right?
Yeah. He points out that Ohio possesses the exact same raw materials to apply this blueprint, primarily by repurposing those struggling commercial assets into high-value life science flex spaces.
Okay, so I hear you on the potential yields, and the Purdue example is definitely compelling. But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second,
Go for it.
especially for the portfolio managers listening who are, highly risk-averse. Every commercial developer I know is just totally obsessed with residential conversions right now.
Oh, for sure. It's all anyone talks about.
Right, because the housing shortage is a well-documented, practically guaranteed crisis. So why pivot your capital into something as headache-inducing and complex as nuclear medical labs?
It's a fair question.
I mean, why not just frame out some apartments, ride the housing wave, and start signing residential leases tomorrow?
Well, that is the standard industry playbook, right? And it is exactly the mindset that Pre challenges.
Up so.
Think about it. When you convert an underperforming office to an apartment complex, yes, you are filling the building.
Which is step one.
Sure, but you are trading one highly saturated consumer-facing market for another. You're dealing with residential tenant turnover, standard 12-month leases, heavy local housing regulations.
So you're solving an occupancy problem, but you aren't optimizing your yield per square foot.
Exactly. You are just applying a band-aid to a zombie asset.
That makes a lot of sense.
And as Pri points out, standard residential conversions completely fail to capitalize on the existing structural attributes of these buildings. And worse, they ignore the absolute scarcity of specialized infrastructure.
Which is where the real premium is.
Right. When you convert to a life science hub, you are entering a space defined by intense technical requirements. You aren't leasing to a resident.
Who are you leasing to?
You're leasing to major healthcare networks, really well-funded biotech startups, institutional research arms.
Oh, wow.
And these entities sign 15 to 20 year bond-like leases because their physical space is integral to their actual operation.
Okay, so the distinction Pri is making is yield optimization versus mere occupancy. That changes the risk profile entirely.
Night and day.
You are basically trading higher upfront complexity for a vastly superior institutional-grade tenant base that offers long-term portfolio stability.
Exactly. And this brings us to what is actually happening inside these buildings. To understand the value, we have to look at the clinical use case that's driving all this real estate demand.
The nuclear medicine aspect.
Right. Pri focuses specifically on nuclear medicine.
So for the asset managers who might not be super familiar with the clinical side of the ledger, let's clarify what that actually means. Because we aren't talking about standard outpatient physical therapy or, you know, a generic urgent care clinic.
No, not at all.
Pri defines nuclear medicine as the use of radioactive isotopes for both diagnosis and targeted treatment.
Things like precision oncology.
It's exactly. Advanced PET scans. This is highly complex, highly regulated medical science.
And the operational reality of handling radioactive isotopes dictates incredibly rigid infrastructure requirements.
I can imagine.
I mean, you cannot simply drop a radiopharmaceutical lab into a standard Class B office shell with a fresh coat of paint.
No, definitely not.
Pri's analysis details the physical needs, and they are staggering. We're talking about specialized shielding, literally constructing lead-lined rooms to contain radiation.
See, I'm looking at my imaginary balance sheet right now, and I'm sweating just thinking about that.
Oh, the CapEx is real.
The structural load requirements alone for lead-lined rooms, that must require massive reinforcement of the existing concrete slabs.
They do. It's a huge undertaking. And the mechanical requirements go far beyond just structural reinforcement.
What else is needed?
These facilities require entirely separate heavy-duty HVAC systems. You have to maintain negative air pressure to manage containment.
Right, so nothing leaks out.
Exactly. Utilizing single-pass air systems so you aren't recirculating potentially contaminated exhaust back into the rest of the building.
Wow.
And then on top of that, you have to factor in highly specific waste management systems designed exclusively for radioactive byproducts.
I mean, honestly, this sounds like a logistical nightmare for a developer.
It can be.
Which actually leads me to one of the most brilliant observations in Pri's perspective. He introduces this concept of the fiduciary constraint of location.
This is such a key insight.
Because in our industry, you know, location, location, location usually means foot traffic or highway visibility or proximity to luxury retail.
Right, the usual amenity.
But Pri completely redefines what location means for the life science sector.
He really does. He strips away the traditional amenities and looks purely at operational biology.
Operational biology.
Yeah. In Pri's view, a struggling Class B office that sits, say, 3 miles from a major research hospital is worth exponentially more as a life science hub than it could ever be as a luxury apartment complex.
Because of the proximity.
Right. The proximity isn't just a perk to attract talent, you know, like a cool coffee shop downstairs.
Right.
It is an absolute biological and logistical necessity.
Let's explain the mechanism there, because I think this is the real aha moment for valuing these assets. It all comes down to the half-life of these radioactive isotopes.
Exactly.
We are talking about medical products that literally decay by the minute. So if your manufacturing lab is 20 miles away from the hospital and your delivery vehicle hits a random traffic jam plant,
your product is ruined.
Right. It is disappearing into thin air before it even reaches the patient.
The degradation is a literal ticking clock. And if you connect this to the broader picture, it operates almost exactly like high-frequency trading in the financial sector.
Oh, that is a perfect analogy.
Right. Just like quantitative trading firms need their server farms physically bolted next to the stock exchange to shave microseconds off their algorithmic trades.
These radiopharmaceutical labs need to be physically next to the hospital.
Exactly. The real estate isn't just a place to put desks and whiteboards. The building itself becomes a piece of the medical hardware.
That physical proximity is the entire ballgame.
It really is. Repurposing existing office inventory that already sits in that golden 3-mile radius of a medical anchor drastically reduces the speed to market for these biotech firms.
Because they don't have to start from scratch.
Right. They don't have to spend 5 years trying to acquire land and build from the ground up in a dense, expensive urban hospital district. You are basically handing them the keys to a compliant shell.
And this is where Priyanshu Adethikar connects that theoretical Indiana blueprint directly to the Ohio opportunity. He identifies Cleveland and Columbus as prime targets for this exact strategy.
And the reasoning is solid.
Yeah, the reason is the sheer concentration of institutional knowledge. You have the Cleveland Clinic, you have Ohio State University.
The lighthouses.
Exactly. These are massive, globally recognized medical and research engines pushing out new biotech innovations daily.
So if you own a commercial asset or, you know, even an adjacent hotel property that could serve the influx of visiting researchers and patients, and it's sitting right in the shadow of the Cleveland Clinic or OSU.
You are sitting on a gold mine.
You are sitting on a highly strategic piece of potential infrastructure. And what makes Pry's analysis so invaluable for investors here is how he reframes those heavy infrastructure requirements we were just talking about.
The lead-lined rooms, the single-pass HVAC, the reinforced concrete.
Precisely. Because in a standard generalist real estate mindset, those things are a massive development burden.
They kill the deal.
Usually, yes.
Yeah.
But in Pry's specialized framework, those requirements are a strategic advantage. They create an impenetrable barrier to entry. They build a moat.
Okay, let's examine that moat.
Yeah.
Because if I am pitching this to an investment committee tomorrow, I really need to justify the capital expenditure.
You do. The numbers have to make sense.
Right. The CapEx for this level of mechanical, electrical, and plumbing overhaul the MEP systems, that must be a 300 or 400% increase over a standard plug-and-play office refresh.
Easily.
So how do investors actually stomach that upfront spend instead of just throwing up drywall for residential?
It is the defining friction point for this asset class.
Yes.
And honestly, it is where Priyanshu Adethikar's advisory expertise is truly unparalleled.
Because he looks at the micro level.
Yes. As Pri explains, you basically have to throw out your standard office valuation metrics. You cannot look at the cost per square foot in a vacuum anymore. He advocates for a surgical, highly localized supply and demand analysis.
Meaning you don't just look at the citywide vacancy rates.
Right.
You look exclusively at that hyperlocal hospital radius.
Exactly the approach. The absolute scarcity of turnkey nuclear medicine flex space is what justifies the massive upfront spend.
I see.
If you successfully execute this conversion, a competing developer cannot simply buy the lot next door, pour a foundation, and throw up a competing facility in 6 months.
It's too hard.
It's way too hard. The technical complexity, the stringent regulatory approvals for handling isotopes, and the intense structural build-out, all of that protects the landlord from future market oversupply.
Ah, so the complexity is the moat.
Exactly.
Because no one else can easily replicate the asset, the landlord has immense pricing power.
Mm-hmm.
The exponential rental premiums these specialized tenants are willing to pay because they absolutely must be in that location are what ultimately offset the staggering CapEx.
You nailed it. It requires a really surgical approach to capital allocation. You are taking a calculated risk, sure, but it is entirely underwritten by the biological necessity of the tenant's business model.
That's fascinating.
However, building that moat still requires navigating local bureaucracy, which is where Pri offers some incredibly sharp, forward-looking advice for risk mitigation.
Oh, I wanted to ask about that. If you were deploying capital right now, what specifically should you be watching on the municipal level?
Well, Pri advises Smart Capital to closely monitor the zoning changes and municipal incentives around the designated innovation districts in Columbus and Cleveland.
Why focus so heavily on the zoning?
Because the municipalities are highly motivated partners in this specific asset class. City governments desperately want to attract high-paying biotech jobs, right?
Of course.
And they want their cities to be globally recognized centers for research breakthroughs, the economic development potential, the tax revenue, the prestige. It's massive.
It's a huge win for a mayor.
Exactly. Therefore, as Pri notes, we are highly likely to see cities implement streamlined permitting processes specifically designed to accelerate these life science conversions.
Oh, that drastically changes the development math.
It changes everything.
I mean, if a city removes the bureaucratic friction, if they fast track the permits for your heavy HVAC and your structural reinforcements, it significantly reduces your carrying costs during the most vulnerable phase of the project, the conversion itself.
The city effectively becomes an active partner in your risk mitigation. They are laying out the red carpet for this specific type of infrastructure because it serves a critical public interest, unlike, you know, just another standard office tower.
It aligns perfectly with the idea of moving capital out of unsupported generalist space and into targeted, highly incentivized, specialized development.
Exactly.
If you are an asset manager, having the municipality actively trying to push your project through the pipeline is the ultimate risk reducer to present to your committee.
Absolutely. Synthesizing all of these data points from the newsletter, we really arrive at a very clear, actionable bottom line for the institutional listener today.
Which is?
Repurposing underperforming Class B commercial space into life science flex space is not just some trendy architectural pivot. It is the ultimate play for long-term portfolio resilience.
It is a structural evolution. Mm-hmm. You are isolating your capital from the extreme volatility of general office use, where your occupancy just fluctuates wildly based on the latest work-from-home trends or general economic sentiment.
You're stepping off that roller coaster.
Right. Instead, you are tethering your asset's value to absolute technical necessity. You are taking a stagnant, bleeding liability and engineering it into vital infrastructure.
And that is the overarching philosophy that makes Priyanshu Adithakar's perspective so vital right now. We are witnessing a permanent structural shift from generalist real estate to specialist hubs.
Especially in the Midwest.
Yeah, in the Midwest, the regional economic engine isn't traditional manufacturing anymore. It is world-class medical innovation.
So smart capital doesn't just buy a square box of glass and steel anymore.
No, those days are over.
It buys the highly specialized, technically capable environment that happens to sit 3 miles from the research hospital's loading dock. This strategy completely bypasses simple occupancy metrics.
It's about integrating an asset so deeply into the tenant's operation that it becomes completely irreplaceable.
It fundamentally elevates the role of the property owner, too. You go from a mere rent collector to an essential partner in the clinical supply chain.
That's a great way to put it.
But navigating that transition from understanding the nuances of nuclear medicine infrastructure to leveraging localized zoning incentives requires a level of advisory expertise that goes way beyond standard commercial brokerage.
Which is exactly why Priyanshu Adithakar has established himself as the necessary guide for these complex, high-stakes investments.
It really is. Which leaves us with a pretty profound question to chew on as we wrap up this deep dive.
Let's hear it.
We started by looking at a balance sheet, trying to figure out what to do with a half-empty office building. But if this Midwest blueprint succeeds, and physical real estate becomes a critical integrated link in the delivery of life-saving radiopharmaceuticals, as Priya suggests.
Yeah.
Do we need to fundamentally redefine how we classify commercial real estate portfolios?
I mean, it certainly blurs the line between property management and healthcare logistics.
Right. Are you even investing in real estate at that point? Or are you effectively investing directly in the hardware of the healthcare system? If you own the building that makes the cancer treatment possible, your asset is no longer just real estate. That is the new paradigm smart capital needs to be pricing in today.